This is Radio Blowback, and we're talking with Sarah Anderson of the Institute for Policy Studies. How did this person, Pinochet, come to power in 1973? You have mentioned there was a government by Salvador Allende. Can you tell us a little bit about the Allende government and its overthrow? How did it happen? Who was involved?
Right. Well, Allende was a socialist who was democratically elected, and he was not very popular with the U.S. government. This was during the Nixon era, and with Kissinger as one of Nixon's top aides, and they were really out to get this guy. There are transcripts or notes from meetings that show that Nixon was willing to put a lot of money and effort into getting rid of this guy. They saw him as a threat. This was the Cold War era, and they did not want to have this person who'd been selected by the Chilean people actually running this country. And so they helped fund and support campaigns there to disrupt the economy. There was a case where they actually supplied guns that were later used to assassinate a top general of Allende's military who was loyal to Allende. So the U.S. government was very much messed up in this coup. Pinochet was one of the top military leaders under Allende. We have pictures of him in meetings with Allende and Orlando Letelier, always acting very friendly all the while. Of course, he had his sights on power. And so the economy really did fall into chaos, and that helped contribute, I think, to this very explosive situation that Pinochet was able to take advantage of. And as I said, there was this coup, I think it was September 11th, 1973.
And I'd like to tie something in. You mentioned that Orlando was involved in the new international economic order. How does that tie in to what was going on in Allende's Chile?
Yeah, well, one reason why Allende was considered a big threat to sort of how the U.S. would like the world to run was that he believed that the resources of the country should be used to support the people. And one thing that really was very controversial was that he renationalized the copper mines in Chile. He offered to pay the private companies that were running the mines. It wasn't like he just stole them and took them over without offering any compensation. But that was an example, I think, where he came in with an agenda where he felt that there was, extreme poverty in Chile, but that the country did have rich resources and that those should be used to support reducing poverty in the country. And, that's just an example of something that I think would be consistent with the kind of ideas that Letelier promoted. But it was very threatening to sort of the powers that be, and the corporations, of course, were very upset and were very supportive of the U.S. government's efforts to unseat this, in their minds, unpopular government.
And how does that tie into what's going on now in terms of the debate about economic globalization, or rather the unfettered economic globalization that's going on? Do you see a link between what was going on then and what's going on now?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Chile is so close to Argentina, where the country is in total collapse, and a lot of the tensions there are around the fact that the country privatized everything that wasn't nailed down, sold off state enterprises to private international companies that came in with a real profit motive, laid off lots of workers, made services harder to access for the average person. In the healthcare system, that private companies took over and millions of people lost their health care. And that certainly contributed to the extreme tensions in Argentina that have made the country completely collapse. In Chile, it's not quite as extreme in Argentina, but you've also had a real rise in inequality in the country that I think contributes to those same kinds of tensions. So I think all the issues that Letelier raised, unfortunately, back then, more than 25 years ago, have really almost even more come to the fore today.